Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy great grace toward us, the children of men. Thou hast been merciful and kind, and Thy goodness endureth forever. We look to Thee with quiet confidence because of Thy faithfulness, which has made us great. We thank Thee for it. We pray now, Father, as we study, that Thou wilt show us more of Thyself in Christ Jesus. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we go on in our study of the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew, we come to a very interesting passage which points out to us the importance of our personal life in this world. I'm talking about Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. If you have your Bibles with you, you want to open it and open them and look at this passage. It's a familiar passage. I'm going to read it to you, and I want us to look into it and examine it. The Lord Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." I wonder how many times we've ever given thought to it. What does it mean when he says to anybody, especially to those who listen to him and follow his word, "You are the salt of the earth"? This will remind you that back in that country, in the days in which the Lord Jesus Christ was living and speaking, the matter of preserving food was a very real problem. Everybody knows how easy it is for food to spoil, and especially would this be true of meat. And meat would spoil easily in a warm country. Now, those of us who have lived in the country and been out on the farm in the days there before refrigeration, when we didn't have any way of keeping our meat chilled because we had a cold ice house to put it in, we had to arrange to keep the meat from spoiling. Otherwise, we used salt. You will remember we used to put the pork in barrels with brine. And you all know, you've all heard of salt pork. Well, the reason for having salt pork is not because anybody likes salt that well for the taste. It's that the pork will stay fresh, and it does, when you preserve it in this fashion. Back in the days of when our Lord was here upon earth, they would use the salt as a preservative, but their salt was not as pure as our salt. You probably know that the salt that you buy has been highly refined. It's not found that way. Salt doesn't come out of the ground or out of the salt mines in such a state as that. It needs to be refined. When the salt is mingled with other sand or earth so that it is what you would call impure, what we would call impure, it would seem that the other ingredients that were mixed in with the salt would take out the pungency of the salt. It would cause the salt to lose its effectiveness. It would lose its power, the effect that it had upon the food in itself. And so if the salt has lost its savor, is a way of saying that the salt has gotten to where it's not strong anymore. It doesn't have a strong effect on the meat. And if the salt has once lost its effectiveness as a preservative agency, it's no good. In other words, you can't use it for any other kind of food. It isn't like a cereal. Or you couldn't use it like flour or anything like that. It's either going to be used as salt or nothing. And if it isn't any good as salt, if it does not have a preservative influence on the meat that it's rubbed into, if it doesn't do it any good, then it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot. Now, the Lord Jesus uses that illustration, almost like a parable. He uses that figure of speech about godly people and says about people in whom the will of God is being done, that in this world they are preservatives so far as other people are concerned. In other words, the presence of a Christian in a group keeps the group from spoiling so quickly. It's a preservative for society. Any community that has a strong church in it is a better community. Any group of people that has in it one or two strong Christians, it will be a better group of people. I mean, their speech will be better. There won't be as much profanity. There won't be as much obscenity. People won't be saying the dirty things they say if you have a real Christian, a respected Christian in the group. It just works that way. And it works that way in the community. If you have in the community some individual family that is careful in what it does, you'll find that the community as a whole will tend to be like that. Nothing in the world would encourage people going to church as much as some people to go to church. Nothing in the world encourages people to stay away from church as much as some people staying away from church. So there you are. Our conduct actually affects other people. And the Lord Jesus Christ, having this in mind, told his disciples that they should so conduct themselves that their influence upon other people would be significant. Then he goes on to say, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, what does light do? Light illuminates. Light shows up things the way they are. If you turn on the light in the room, you didn't add any furniture. You didn't bring in anything. You simply showed up things where they are. It's much more useful to you. Now you know where to get things. You know where to put your hand on things. You know what's there. But before the light came, you didn't know it. Now, godly people, godly life, lived in the community, helps people to see things. Many and many a time you wouldn't know what your own conduct looked like if you didn't have someone in the group who does the right thing. And the person who does the right thing is just like putting on the light. It shows everything up for what it is. And that's what a Christian does. Now, a Christian, a person who is a godly person, a person in whom the will of God is being done, such a person as the Beatitudes would be written about, that would describe the kind of life that you would live if you were living in the will of God and letting the will of God be done, actually affects the community in that it retards decay. It holds back the rotting influences that are in the community, and it shows up the truth like light. So the Lord Jesus said, "Let your light therefore shine." And this brings out this to our minds. We should let our conduct show. You know, every now and again we find we have a temptation that we are inclined to worship God, we want to do it secretly. We are inclined to believe in God, we keep it to ourselves. We may read the Bible, but we don't let anyone see us doing it. We may pray, but we don't let anyone see us doing it. We may even give under certain conditions, and we have some kind of an idea that there is some sort of special blessing if you just don't ever say what you gave. That's not true. The truth of the matter is that we have an influence on other people. We actually, in our own conduct, actually affect other people. And the point is this: if you do what's right, that's wonderful, that's good. But if you do the right thing and do it openly, you're doing it twice. That's even more right. In other words, one could word this way. One could say that you should do right to begin with. But you should do right in such a way that other people will see it, providing things honest in the sight of all men. It's not really right if it's not out, open, and above board. The same is true with reference to God. The matter, for example, of going to church. It's a perfectly all right thing for people to know you're going to church. It's good. Same is true with reference, for example, to reading the Bible and having a Bible. I didn't used to think this so much, but in more recent years, when I have watched people over the country as I've gone here and there over the country, and I must confess I begin to see a real value when young people and women and men are seen with a Bible in their hands. I think the men who carry a Bible in their pocket and aren't afraid to bring it out on occasion, it's good. And I think a woman who carries a Bible in her hand or in her carries it with her, it's good. I think many a young woman would find, so far as she is concerned, that things would be greatly helped for her in a public way if she just could actually have a copy of the Scriptures along. I remember one time seeing something happen like this back in the days when I had occasion to ride in a train. And riding in a coach in a train, I noticed an instance where a young girl was sitting in this coach and there was a vacant seat beside her. In the course of time, as the train stopped first at this station and then at that, a young man came in and sat down beside her. Apparently, this young man wanted to strike up some sort of conversation. I wasn't close enough to hear, and I didn't know particularly what was going on, but I did notice one thing. I noticed that this girl opened her handbook, and taking out some things, she took out a New Testament. After reading it for a little bit, she laid it on the seat beside her, between her and the man. Do you mind if I just point out and say to you that it made a whole lot of difference in the way he acted? It certainly would. And I wouldn't want to push this too much. We don't want to wear our religion on our sleeve. But there's no virtue in keeping it a secret. There's no virtue in keeping it completely off to oneself. There's nothing wrong at all in letting both children and young people and others let it be known where they belong. It's a good thing to belong to something that's in the name of the Lord and to openly let it be known that you belong in the name of the Lord, that they may see. Now, I know there are other good works besides just the matter of the public worship of God, but it's a strange thing that whatever the good works may be, if they're done in the name of the Lord, they always have a special significance. And so, and with reference to God, the worship of God, going to church, reading the Bible, praying, can be done in the presence of other people to advantage. And for that matter, the fact we obey the law, let's do it openly and publicly. The fact that we're kind to people, it can be done openly and publicly. And the fact that we're charitable to the poor can be done openly and publicly to advantage. It's a good thing to let people see your good works, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us. Make us strong in the way we live in the community where we are. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.